I'm Anna Hahn from Howard Brown Health Center in Chicago, and I'm going to be presenting.
You know, it's also being recorded, so you're going to really have to.
Can I move this
one
up?
That's the recorded one. Yeah, just pick it up like a nightclub.
Pick it up. Okay. Okay. Is this better? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll be presenting some research on serosorting and STI outcomes among HIV-negative MSM. So just briefly, a quick background. Over the last decade, increases in risk-taking, STIs and HIV in MSM have highlighted a need for re-examining prevention messages in context and considering variables related to relationship dynamics and partner characteristics and how these affect risk-taking and disease outcomes. Serosorting is an HIV risk reduction strategy that has emerged in the MSM community whereby men either exclusively select partners of the same HIV status or preferentially practice unprotected anal sex with partners of the same status. Research suggests it's practiced by about 20 to 30% of HIV-negative men. It's more common in HIV-positive men. And while in theory it should reduce the risk of HIV transmission in scenarios where there's open disclosure and accurate knowledge of both partners' status, there's potential for failure related to acute infection, infrequent testing, or assumptions about partner status. So how men determine their partner status is not very well understood, although some research suggests there's a tendency towards assuming concordance. But whether men use direct methods like open discussion or getting tested together or assumptions, either based on the appearance of partners or occupation of partner or situational factors, or if they make global assumptions that all unknown partners are concordant or all unknown partners are discordant, have different implications for prevention and interventions, and clearly faulty assumptions of concordance can result in increased risk. So our objectives were to measure the prevalence of serosorting behaviors as it relates to individual sex partner and relationship characteristics, to look at direct versus indirect assessment of partner status, and to determine whether STI prevalence varied according to serosorting practices. The study took place at Howard Brown Health Center, which is the largest LGBT organization in the Midwest. We offer comprehensive care services to over 30,000 adults and youth each year, including HIV and STI testing, primary care, and other medical services. This was a cross-sectional survey that was conducted at the walk-in STI clinic at Howard Brown between May of 2010 and October of 2011. The analysis was restricted to HIV-negative MSM aged 18 or older who reported information on their sexual behavior with their most recent male partner and their own and their partner's HIV status. We excluded visits that occurred within a month from the previous visit and combined HIV-positive and unknown status partners for analysis. So men who knew who said that they knew their most recent partner's HIV status were asked how they determine the partner's status, and these were categorized as either direct methods or indirect methods. So direct methods would be talking with the partner, getting tested together. Indirect methods included appearance, occupation, situational factors, or assumptions. Our definition of serosorting for the analysis was based on the HIV status of the most recent sex partner, how the partner status was determined if concordant, and whether UAI occurred with the partner. About half of men reported at about 50% of visits that their recent partner was concordant negative. Most people use direct methods to determine the partner's status, but close to 20% assume concordance or use indirect methods. And about 40% of visits where the partner was concordant, there was UAI reported. And UAI was more common with concordant partners than with discordant partners, whether or not concordance was directly assessed or assumed. So our exposure was a four-category outcome. No UAI was the reference category to which we compared concordant UAI with direct assessment, concordant UAI where concordance was assumed, and discordant UAI. And the outcome was infection with urogenital or rectal gonorrhea or chlamydia or early syphilis. So this was a visit-based analysis, so men could contribute more than one visit. We used generalized estimating equations to account for correlations between observations from the same subjects and calculated odds ratios for the association between serosorting and STIs, adjusted for demographics and other risk behaviors. And we also we looked at the sample overall and restricted to casual partner visits where casual partners were reported, which was about 60% of visits overall. So 978 HIV-negative men were screened at over 1,100 visits. No UAI was reported at 61% of visits, seroconcordant UAI with direct assessment at 17% of visits, concordant UAI where the partner status was assumed at 5% of visits, and discordant UAI at 17% of visits. The median time since last HIV test was 7.5 months, but 60% hadn't been tested within 6 months, and over a third hadn't been tested in the last year. So STI prevalence was 19% overall. It was 16% at visits where no UAI was reported, about 20% visits where concordant UAI with direct assessment was reported, almost 35% where UAI was reported with assumed concordance, and 30% where serodiscordant UAI was reported. So there was not a significantly increased odds of STI with concordant UAI with direct assessment compared to no UAI, but there was a significantly increased odds for assumed concordant UAI and discordant UAI. And these associations remained in multivariable analysis. You'll notice that compared to no UAI, concordant UAI with direct assessment was not associated with significantly increased odds, but assuming concordance was, and as was discordant UAI, and this is adjusted for other risk behaviors and age and race ethnicity. And very similar results were shown when we restricted the analysis to casual partners, and when we took out the visits where no UAI was reported and used concordant UAI with direct assessment as the reference, there was still an increased risk with assuming concordance and with discordant UAI. So 22% of HIV-negative men reported concordant UAI. This wasn't associated with increased risk of STI if the partner status was attained through direct assessment, but was associated with significantly increased risk if concordance was assumed, which has obvious implications for prevention. It was a cross-sectional survey. Information was based on self-reported. It took place at a busy STI clinic, so there was lack of detail about how sexual behavior varied within subjects according to different partner types or relationship context. So while this data provides preliminary evidence on variation in behavior and STI prevalence, by partner sero status, more research is clearly needed, particularly to distinguish assumed concordance from intentional serosorting and prospectively measure STI and behavioral outcomes as related to partner and relationship factors. So sorry I went a little long. I want to just thank my collaborators, and I'm happy to take any questions. So if there are any questions, I'd ask that you come to the microphone because they are audio taping this, and identify who you are if you ask a question. First presentation of the day. You might have said it. How did you assess the information? Was it face-to-face or computer?
There were paper and pencil surveys.
Paper and pencil survey?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Michael Arnold at Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. I'm wondering, are you certain that it's actually serial sorting when they're talking about concordant, even with direct assessment, that it's like a motivation or intention to have UAI with that partner, or is it just that, well, in retrospect, I talked to him after or before, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
To me, there's a difference between serial sorting as a motivation versus serial right. sorting as just, I had unprotected sex, but I knew he was negative. So.
Yes, and that's a very good question, and one that just requires more research. It's just hard to say based on this data. We think that there's a trend toward serosorting in the population overall, but we didn't. We weren't able to measure intentionality, and we didn't measure when disclosure occurred related to the sexual encounter or anything like that. So the data has its limitations, which is why I said that it's sort of preliminary evidence, but certainly we want to answer those questions with more detail in the future.
Harlan Rappert, L.A. County Department of Public Health. Thank you for the lovely presentation and data. I just had one couple of clarifications. Mm-hmm. You included as direct assessment talking to the partner, mm-hmm. but could that, I mean, there's talking and talking, so
right.
So I wanted to know if you would consider that, if I understood that right. The other thing was in the what you called the serodiscordant, did you capture information about who was top and bottom and other aspects of this, what was going on?
For the first question, we didn't have detail about when the discussion occurred or how it occurred or anything, so that's just a limitation of the data. As far as positioning factors, we did find for HIV-negative guys, and this was a separate analysis, but for HIV-negative guys, they were more likely to bottom with a concordant partner, and HIV-positive guys were more likely to be the top with a partner who they thought was concordant. So, I mean, that's really sort of the only suggestion that the only extent to which I've looked at that data so far to see, but we combined UAI for this analysis.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to see that broken down.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
So we have time for, if these are short questions, we have time for two more questions. Dr. Peterman?
Tom Peterman, CDC headquarters. Thanks for an interesting presentation on a complicated topic.
Thanks.
Question is, you combine people who ask their partner or talk to their partner with people who are tested with their partner.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how many people were actually tested with their partner.
It wasn't a large number, which is why we combined them, because there wasn't a large enough sample to look at them in separate categories, but the majority of people who answered that question, like around 90%, said that they had talked with the partner but had not been tested together. So it's another limitation.
And I know you control for confounding, but did people who were careful about asking their partner or getting tested with their partner, were they also more careful in their other sexual behaviors? Or?
I don't know if I know the answer to that. I mean the associations were there even after controlling for other confounders, but I could look at it again, you know, stratified by the other risk behaviors.
Question.
Elaine Flagg, CDC. Could you comment on the use of odds and odds ratios for comparisons rather than prevalences and prevalence ratios?
We were really just interested in looking at associations, so we you know, calculated odds ratios just as sort of a standard practice with cross-sectional data with a binary outcome, but I could also have calculated prevalence ratios.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.